It is cold out there. For those who are live streaming with us, you do have the right church, by the way. We just hit a really cold front here, here in East Texas. So one of our elders, by the way, who is from Canada, informed me this morning that in his hometown it is negative 20. I don't even know what that is. I don't. So it is cold here in East Texas right now. Hey, if you are if you're joining us through live stream or if you're guests here this morning, we hope that you feel very welcome. If this is your home church, it's good to worship together. My name is Danny. I have the privilege serving as our pastor here at our University Boulevard campus, and we're glad that we can gather together in a warm auditorium and to dig into God's word together. As Luke mentioned just a moment ago, with a new year comes a new sermon series. And so we are starting out 2022 in the book of Proverbs. And so this is going to be, I think, a fun journey for us as a church walking through Proverbs. Proverbs, to be honest with you, is a little bit tricky from a preaching standpoint, because Proverbs, if you've ever read it on your own, it can give kind of the feeling of a bunch of fortune cookie sayings kind of all packed in together in a book of the Bible. And that makes it really hard to preach through that, because every verse is full of a lot of truth and wisdom. But what we're going to do is we're going to look at some of the major themes through the book of Proverbs, and we're going to week by week unpack some of those themes for the hope that leads us to a life that is walking in the wisdom that God provides us. You know, it's interesting because I want to go actually back to the New Testament. For the first time, really, for me, I got to lock in on a verse in Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And I think this verse, even though it's in the New Testament, really lays the foundation for why it's important for you and I to walk through the book of Proverbs starting out in 2022. Think about what Paul says in Ephesians 5, verse 15 and 16. We'll put the words up on the screen for you here. He says, "Look carefully than how you walk," or in the Greek, "look carefully in how you live, not as unwise, but as," help me out, "but as what?" Wise. So Paul says, look carefully at your life, like how you live your life, but don't live your life as unwise, but as of now, as a believer in Christ. After you've given your life to Jesus, now that he lives in you, now live as somebody who is wise. Why? He says, because making use of the time, because the days are evil. That's Paul's way of saying, because your time, my time here on this earth, we tend to live as if we will never die. But the reality is, your time and my time here on this earth is very, very small in the grand scheme of history. Therefore, as a believer in Christ, Paul says, live as not the unwise, but live your life as somebody who is wise. That is why the book of Proverbs is called the book of wisdom. It's full of God's truth. It leads us deeper into the heart of God, but it also is full of wisdom and truth that is meant to change how you and I live. That's why it's important for us, because our time here on this earth is really short. None of us wants to live as unwise. So we're going to walk through this together as a church at each of our campuses over the next few weeks. So let's dig into it. Proverbs chapter 3 is where we'll start. Proverbs 3, we'll start in verse 1. Solomon, who is David's son, is the author of the book of Proverbs. We'll talk more about his life towards the end of our time in the scriptures here. But Solomon writes this. He says, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you." Hear that again. Solomon says, look, don't forsake what I'm sharing with you. Don't forsake my teaching here. And he says that actually what I'm about to share with you will be so life-giving that it will give you the feeling of your years expanding, your days expanding, and peace dwelling within your life. What is Solomon saying here in the first two verses? Like, if we could zoom out for a moment, what is he actually saying? He's saying to his readers, look, I'm about to share something with you that is going to be so life-giving for you, and it's called wisdom. I want to share wisdom with you. So when we hear the word wisdom, when we think about wisdom, that can kind of seem like a real simple term, but I want to make sure that we're all on the same page. So we're going to have a working definition as we study Proverbs. What is wisdom? Up on the screen for you, that wisdom is simply knowing what to do with knowledge gained through various means of education. Wisdom is simply knowing what to do with knowledge that you gain through various means of education, and those various means could be life experiences, it could be study, it could be learning from history, but it's knowledge that we gain, and then we're able to implement it into our lives. That is wisdom. Wisdom's not only solely for somebody who's older. That wisdom applies to all of us as believers. Again, what did Paul command here? Don't live as unwise, but take the knowledge that you have, grow in it, and apply it to your life as you live your life here on this earth. So I want to ask the question this morning. Have you ever had a moment in your life to where somebody, God used somebody in your life to impart wisdom to you? You took that wisdom, you embraced it, it served you well, and maybe it even changed how you live. Have you ever had somebody in your life, maybe it was a coach, maybe it was a teacher, maybe it was a youth pastor, maybe it was a friend, a parent, maybe it was a neighbor, a grandparent, somebody shared wisdom with you and you embraced it to the degree that it really changed how you live? Or let's look at the flip side of that for a moment. Has somebody ever offered up wisdom to you and you declined it, or maybe you stood kind of indifferent to it, you never embraced it, and that you just kind of moved on with your life? By the way, all parents right now are like nudging your child, right? Like, hey, listen to this. All of us have done that. All of us have had opportunities to gain wisdom, to learn from wisdom that was given to us, and yet we declined it, we ignored it, we stood indifferent to it, and we just kind of moved on, and we missed an opportunity to learn from something that God laid out right before us. So I want to share with you and be honest that one of my many regrets that I have in life took place about 6 years ago. Our family was at Pine Cove. We were there for a Thanksgiving conference. Had the opportunity to speak at this conference. And one night we were having dinner with an older gentleman. And he said, hey, I've noticed that in your teaching that you've been really shaped by Jerry Bridges. And so Jerry Bridges is an author, worked for Navigators Ministry in Colorado Springs for a number of years. By the way, he is a native Tylerite from Tyler, Texas. He's somebody that God has used from a distance in my life to really influence my life. I've learned a lot from him, from the scriptures and just theology as well, and so God has really used him in my life. And so this guy noticed that in my teaching, he said, I know you've been influenced by Jerry Bridges. And I was like, wow, that's really interesting and kind of creepy that you noticed that. And he said, the reason I know that is because I went to college with Jerry, and Jerry's one of my best friends. I was like, oh, that's really cool. So we talked a little bit longer, and the guy looked at me and he said, hey, I would love to get you connected with Jerry. I'd love to get you connected. I think the two of you would like getting to know one another. And he said, I think you'd have a great opportunity to learn from him. So he gave me his number. It's a regret because I never followed up on it. Never. A guy that God used in my life to really shape me, I never followed up on the opportunity to just reach out and personally get to know him. Again, that took place Thanksgiving. The following March, Jerry Bridges passed away. I regret that. I regret it because I think that I could have learned a lot from a guy that possessed a ton of wisdom. And I forfeited the opportunity to grow from that wisdom, to embrace that wisdom, and to be changed by that wisdom. I wonder if we're all in the same boat here. That God is continuously supplying wisdom to us to learn from and to grow in, and yet we just forfeit it or we stand indifferent to it. It's interesting because in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, the way that Solomon opens up the entire book that he wrote here, he says this. He says that in chapter 1, verse 7, fools despise wisdom and instruction. In other words, when we don't embrace wisdom that God supplies, we don't take advantage of opportunities to grow and learn from wisdom, in other words, that we are walking in foolishness. Or the way that Brett McCracken wrote in his book, The Wisdom Pyramid, he put it this way, that God's people, or God created his people for wisdom. But sometimes we are lazily content with our lack of wisdom. That's a punch right there. That we are lazily content with our lack of wisdom. God's word is full of wisdom and truth, and yet we are lazily content with our lack of wisdom. This is why it's so important for us to walk through the book of Proverbs. Solomon just laid it out in the first couple of verses. What I'm about to share with you, he's saying, is full of wisdom. Embrace it, take advantage of it, allow it to sink deep into your life and be changed by it. So what was this wisdom? Skip down to verse 8 together. What was the wisdom? This life-giving wisdom from Solomon. He says, well, I'm about to share with you. Well, actually, here it is. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. The wisdom that he's going to give us this morning will be healing to our flesh and refreshment to our bones. Think about that for a moment. Anybody here this morning, are you walking in with deep wounds? The truth of the wisdom he's about to share with us brings healing to our flesh, healing to our brokenness and our wounds. And he says, and refreshment to our bones. Anybody exhausted this morning? Anybody limping into 2022 right now? Exhausted? The wisdom that you're about to get here from Solomon brings refreshment. It brings healing. It doesn't bring woundedness, and it does not bring exhaustion. It's better. So let's walk through this wisdom this morning from Solomon, starting out in verse 5 together. Look at the first piece of wisdom that he gives. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Stop there for a moment. The first pieces of wisdom that he gives us here that will bring healing to our flesh and refreshment to our bones. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. I know this is a popular verse in the church. If you grew up in the church, you heard this one probably over and over and over. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. When you graduated high school or college, I'm sure somebody gave you a book that had these verses in it. Or they wrote this on a graduation card, Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. But think about the piece of wisdom that Solomon's giving us here. Trust in the Lord, not with just some of your heart, but for all of it. All of it. What does it mean to trust? Up on the screen for you, what does it mean to trust? To trust is to put oneself wholly at the mercy of another. For you to trust the Lord, it means that you're putting yourself at the complete mercy of God. And we can say that we trust God, but do we really trust Him? I see it in my life far too often. I allow my circumstances to determine if God is trustworthy or not. As opposed to reading this and knowing that His character, the core of who God is trustworthy. That's who He is. That God is trustworthy. Let me say it again. God is absolutely trustworthy. My situations and circumstances in life do not determine whether he's trustworthy or not. That is the core of who God is. He is absolutely trustworthy. And so Solomon says, the first piece of wisdom that I want to impart to you is go to the Lord wholly, completely, with your life, surrendering it to him because he is trustworthy. It was September 1st, 1939. Dr. David Martin Lloyd-Jones and his wife were in a transition to move to London. Martin Lloyd-Jones is one of the most interesting characters within the history of the church because he was a renowned medical doctor in England, and midway through his career, stepped out of his medical profession and the prominence of it, and he became a pastor on the coast of England to a very impoverished community. Martin Lloyd-Jones and his wife were living in a time of great anxiety, uncertainty, confusion, because it was the outbreak of World War II. As they were moving to London, Martin Lloyd-Jones began to notice that for his wife, that she was really struggling during that time, because of the uncertainty of the world. Not just in London, but what was going to happen in the entire world. What was going to happen in their move? Was this the right time to transition to London? Was it the right time to pack up their lives and move to a new city? He actually wrote her a letter. And in the letter, this is what Martin Lloyd-Jones shared with his wife. In the midst of anxiety and uncertainty, he said, "Leave yourself and me too, and everything in God's hand, and you will find peace and rest." Leave yourself and me too, and everything in God's hand, and you will find peace and rest. In other words, what he was sharing with his wife was the encouragement of trust God. Trust him. Even with all that's going on in the world and our lives right now, trust him. And I wonder if we were to write a letter to our spouse in 2022, would it go something like this? God knew about 2021 before the foundation of the world, and he already knows what's in store for 2022. Trust him. Trust him. So I want to ask a question this morning, church. Simple question. Who are you putting your trust in? Who are you putting your trust in? I think that question is really important for us this morning because when we trust in the Lord, fully surrender to him, it leads to healing. It leads to refreshment. Not trusting in him leads to woundedness and it leads to exhaustion. Solomon says, trust. Trust him. That is the first piece of wisdom I want to impart. Notice the second part of the verse. Here's the second piece of wisdom that he gives us this morning. He says, do not lean on your own understanding. Do not lean on your own understanding. It's interesting that in the first part of the verse, he says, trust. The second part of the verse, he says, lean. Those can seem similar, but they're actually different in their definition. Because this is what it means here to lean. Leaning is not just reclining against something, but relying on it totally for support. Think about that for a moment. For Solomon to say, lean not on your own understanding, he's saying, I'm not talking about just reclining against something, but leaning on your understanding is simply relying upon it for your total support. I wonder, though, for many of us that as we have walked through a pandemic for the last 2 years almost, like how crazy is that? Anybody over it yet? Anybody just tired? weary, exhausted. The last 2 years have been hard. But I wonder that through the last 2 years, if one of the many things that has surfaced that is not healthy and not good in our lives, I wonder if for many of us, what we are putting the support of our life upon got revealed. Health cannot bear the weight of your life. Money cannot bear the weight of your life. Comfort cannot bear the weight of your life. Your career cannot bear the weight of your life. So I asked this question this morning, what or who are you currently leaning on? What or who are you currently leaning on? Because leaning upon the Lord brings us to places of healing and refreshment, but leaning on something or someone other than the Lord always brings us to places of woundedness or exhaustion. You were meant to lean fully upon the Lord. The third piece of wisdom that he imparts to us, look at verse 6. He says, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path or make straight your paths. In all your ways, acknowledge him. What does it mean to acknowledge God in all your ways? I think it simply means that it is opening your eyes to the reality at every turn, in every situation, every moment in your life, God is absolutely at work. That at every moment, every twist, every turn, every chapter, every place of your life, God is consistently at work. The problem is, if you're like me, you don't always see him at work. Some chapters are a little bit harder to read than others when it comes to his work in my life. Or I find myself too busy to notice when he is at work in my life. Or I find myself very distracted to how exactly he is at work in my life. Kevin DeYoung put it this way, is God always guiding us, leading us, and directing our steps? Yes. Does he mean for us to know any of that ahead of time? Almost never. I hate that quote. Because I want to know in advance how he's going to be at work in my life. But in some ways, it's the brilliance of God to bring us to places of trust, but also to where our eyes have to be open and looking for ways that he's currently working in every twist, turn, moment, chapter in our lives. That's why Solomon would say, you want a piece of wisdom? Acknowledge him. Look for him and how he's working in your life. The reality is he's probably doing about 10,000 different things in your life right now, and you may be aware of three of them. But look. So it brings us to a question this morning then. Are you actively looking for God's work in your life? Or easily distracted by things that don't matter. Seeing God's work brings you to places of healing. It brings you to places of refreshment. Ignoring his work, being distracted or being indifferent to how he's at work leads to places of woundedness. It leads to places of exhaustion in our lives. And then he gives us a fourth and final piece of wisdom. Look at verse 7, the first part of verse 7. He says, be not wise in your own eyes. I don't know if Solomon meant to rhyme there or not, but he says, be not wise in your own eyes. This is interesting to me. This is the part of the passage that I'm really fascinated by. Because you think about Scripture. Scripture is the inerrant word of God. But think about how God chose to write his word and to give us his word. He worked through the inspiration of and the leading of through broken men and women. That's how he gives us his word. His word is perfect, yet he chose to use broken men and women to give us his word. Solomon is a great example of that. And just put it together for a moment. I would love to have been there when Solomon is writing out, "Be not wise in your own eyes." Because there is a story behind the man who is writing that. What do we know about Solomon? From the scriptures, we know that Solomon was a man of extravagant living. Extravagant living. And extravagant purchases as well. Scripture tells us that he had 40,000 stalls for his horses. Now I recognize everything's bigger in Texas, right? We go all out in Texas. You don't compare to Solomon. You're junior, you're 8th grade B team. Maybe 8th grade C team compared to him, okay? Like that, 40,000 stalls for his horses. We know according to the scriptures that he had imported to Israel apes and peacocks that were rare. I don't know what he's doing with those apes and peacocks, but apparently in his extravagant living, he's like, I want them. I want them brought here. He brought in ivory that was expensive and extravagant. He actually planted a national forest. So your garden's pretty cool, right? He planted a national forest. You're like, I don't know about that. If you want to travel to Israel today, outside of Jerusalem, are called the Pools of Jerusalem. There were two pools that Solomon had built during his reign so that they would irrigate the forest that he planted. They still exist today. Not only extravagant spending, but extravagant also with women. Well documented in your Bible. Multiple women, hundreds. Put all of that together, all of it together. And what was his conclusion in Ecclesiastes? Life is but a what? Vapor. And I wonder if that man, when he wrote out, "Be not wise in your own eyes," I wonder if he was sitting there thinking, I'm sharing this wisdom because I have lived in complete opposition to the truth of this statement. I've operated my life in my own wisdom. And I wonder if the man's just sitting there broken, saying, and it wrecked my life. And it wrecked my life. Because how many of us right now are currently living and operating our lives in our own wisdom? And maybe a follow-up question to that for us this morning is, how's it going? How's that working? Is it leading us, much like Solomon, down a path of destruction? Because for some reason, we've inflated our lives to the point that we believe, you know what, I know how to do this. Instead, completely, completely in contrast to infinite wisdom that God offers up and has supplied us to walk in. So I'll close it this way this morning. Honestly, I have really wrestled with this passage. I've wrestled with it. Back in May, we as a preaching team mapped out all of 2022 and what we're going to preach through week in, week out. So it's already set and done. So I knew this was going to be the first sermon in 2022, and it's a familiar one. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Like I knew that, and I thought, okay, this is a really popular verse in all the Bible. This is going to be easy. And then over the last couple weeks as I've been working through this and preparing for this sermon, I personally have been wrestling through this passage. Kara and I had a great conversation this past week, walking through the passage together, discussing it, And then God did something to me a couple of days ago that was kind of unique for me. As I personally was trying to apply the truth of this passage to my life, I felt like God's spirit within me was just saying, all right, Danny, I want you to pray this passage back to me. Like what? Like pray the passage back. What? What? This is what I did. Just prayed this simple prayer to God. Lord, help me to trust in you with all my heart. Lord, help me not to lean on my own understanding. God, in all my ways, I want to acknowledge you. And God, I know that you will be the one who makes my paths straight. Lord, help me not to be wise in my own eyes. Lord, help me to fear you, to be in awe of you. And Lord, help me to turn away from evil. God, I need in my life healing, and I need refreshment that comes from you. So I don't know what your story is. I don't know where God has you. But I would encourage you simply to pray this passage to him. Maybe God has you in a place right now to where he is bringing you out to the ledge and saying, I want you to step out in faith. Maybe that's where he has you right now, of calling you to step out in faith in some area of your life. What a great place to go into. Lord, as you call me out in faith, Lord, help me to trust you with all my heart. Help me not to lean on my own understanding. Help me to acknowledge you in all of my ways. Make these paths straight, God, as you're calling me to step out in faith. Or maybe God has you firmly planted right now in a very, very difficult situation in life. You don't know how this thing's going to end. You don't know how the twists and turns of what's going to happen. There's a lot of uncertainty right now because of your circumstances in life. What a great passage to go right back to. Pray this passage. Or maybe right now you're dealing with something health-related. Maybe there's a diagnosis for you. I don't know. But maybe right now all you can do is, Lord, help me to trust in you. Or maybe right now it's just simply being honest with the Lord. God, I want to trust you, but I'm not doing it with all my heart. Help me to do so, God. Or maybe right now it's time to work through this passage and pray a prayer of confession. Just confess to the Lord, Lord, I'm not trusting you. I am walking in my own wisdom right now. Lord, I confess that to you, Lord. You don't have to be scared. He's not going to strike you down with a lightning bolt. He's a God of grace, but he's also a God that takes your confession and wants to change you and not let you remain where you are. Or maybe right now you're a middle-aged man who doesn't want his faith to become stagnant. I'm referring to myself, by the way. And that's why I've been praying this prayer. Lord, help me to trust in you. Or maybe this morning that you walk into this auditorium and you just come to conclusion there has to be something more to life than what you've experienced. You don't have a relationship with God. Surrendering your life to Jesus is not something that you've done. Maybe he's just tugging at your heart saying, there is something better in life than what you've been doing and giving your life to. It's a relationship with him. A is found through the gospel. Through his life, his death, his resurrection, he invites you into a life with him. You don't earn it. You're not good enough. And that's good news. It's by his grace and his grace alone that he died for you and invites you in to something better than your old life. It's called life in Christ. Trust in him. Surrender your life to him. We're going to have the time to pray right now. We just want to have some space, some time to pray. I would encourage you to open up your Bible, walk back through these verses, and pray this passage back to him. Allow him to work on your heart. I can't imagine a better place in scriptures to start 2022 in than Proverbs chapter 3. Let's pray together. Lord, we're asking God that you'd work in our hearts. Some of us need refreshment. We're exhausted. Some of us need new beginnings in a new year. I pray that you take the truth of your word and press it deep into our hearts, our lives, God, and it would change us to live for you. Knowing that our time here on this earth is really, really small. We want to be believers, Christians, who walk not as unwise, but as wise men and women, sold out to you, Christ, for your glory and not our own. Pray that you do a work in our heart here.